chapter 2. We're going to be looking particularly at one verse in the context of other verses, but particularly at verse 16, Romans chapter 2, picking up in the middle of a sentence here and reading the verse itself. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. And we'll conclude there the reading of this portion of God's Word. Just about 2 weeks ago, yesterday, a man in a faraway state, not near us, set up a secret meeting with a young girl who was about 14 years old. A meeting where they would have physical, immoral, sexual relationship. This rendezvous was arranged over the internet. The date and time were set, and the man arrived at the place on time. To his surprise, he did not meet a young 14-year-old girl. He met a police officer. This is a true story. To his surprise, on the internet, he had been talking to a police officer who had been posing as a 14-year-old girl. The man was arrested immediately. Also, to the surprise of the police, the man was an ordained minister. Even more surprising, he was, maybe more surprising, an ordained Presbyterian minister. And even more surprising, he was an ordained Presbyterian minister in the Presbyterian Church in America, in the PCA. He was the pastor of a large PCA church in a large metropolitan area. He had, I believe, a doctorate in theology from very prestigious universities. He was married and the father of 5 children. This was a shock in our community. Within a week, almost within 7 days, his presbytery met. He was deposed from the ministry. He will probably never preach again. He is now in counseling under the oversight of his presbytery. Devastation to the man, devastation to the man's wife, devastation to his church. There will be a long healing process. The man appears to have repented. His presbytery is trying to bind the wounds. But he will never be in a pulpit in the PCA again. Not only do Roman Catholics have their problems, but also men in every denomination have their problems. In the PCA, there is no second chance. There is no grandfather clause like there is in the Roman Catholic Church. He will be treated as a Christian and he will be ministered unto. But his ministry in the pulpit is gone. A very sad story. Pornography addiction is epidemic in this country. And one reason it is because of the internet. Evidently, this man premeditatedly did what he did. He knew what he was doing. He planned it. I guess he thought he could do it in secret and get away with it. Because most people do. Most people think what they do in secret will never be exposed. And I find that they are mistaken. The passage, the text we deal with today, tells us that if it is not exposed in this world, it will definitely be exposed in the next. More likely than not, however, whatever we do in secret in this life will often and is often discovered by somebody. You may think nobody knows, but there's a high probability that somebody does. We're going to look at this concept here this morning. First of all, at our passage, at our text, we see ultimately that every secret of man or the secrets of men will come under the judgment of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 16, on that day or on the day. And he's already told us what day that is. In the fifth verse of the second chapter, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness of God. Paul preached at Athens and told those who were at Athens that God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world. The reference here in verse 16, on the day, is a reference to that final day when we will all appear before the judgment of God. On that day, and Paul goes on there to say, according to my gospel, the gospel given to Paul, as opposed to the gospel of false prophets, not as opposed to the gospel of Christ, as some people might imply that he means here, according to my gospel, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the gospel of the false prophets, according to my gospel, the good news, and notice here how the gospel includes both the good news and the bad news. According to my gospel, that Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life and He loves everybody? No. According to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men. You see, the gospel has a message of blessing and encouragement and grace, but also the gospel has the message that there will be condemnation to those who refuse the message of grace. What is the gospel? Gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. If we respond in faith and trust in Him alone, we shall be forgiven of our sins. But that's not all the gospel. We don't stop there. You see, He says, according to my gospel, what? God will judge the secrets of men. You can't talk about the gospel, the good news, without making reference to the day of judgment and God will judge the secrets of men. That's part of the gospel. The Apostle Paul knew that, and he knew whenever he preached the gospel, God would work His grace and mercy But also God would bring condemnation upon those who refuse to believe the gospel. Not only is there the blessing, but there's also the cursing, and they're both included in the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul tells us how very much he was aware of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are an aroma, both to those who are going to be living and to those who are dying. To the one, an aroma from death unto death, and to the other, an aroma from life unto life. When I preach the gospel, I preach, and many come to life. But many only come to judgment. And Paul says, who is worthy of these things? We preach the full gospel. We are a full gospel preaching church. And that means that we preach the whole counsel. We preach forgiveness. But we also preach there's a day of judgment in which God will judge the secrets of men. That's what Paul says. According to my gospel, what? There will be a day of judgment. And if you never hear that from a preacher, you've not heard the whole gospel. And that gospel includes the fact that God will judge us. He will judge our secrets. What you do in secret, what you do in the dark, what you do behind closed doors, what you do when you're all alone, what you do undercover, God sees, God knows, and God will judge. If that doesn't drive you to Christ, I don't know what will. If that doesn't drive you to plead the mercy of God, I don't know what will. God will judge our deeds, yes, but God will also judge our secrets. Ultimately, they will be exposed. You may get away with it in this life, but you will not get away with it in the next. And so when a man goes to preach the gospel, he must say those words. He has to. Now be careful here. As I said, don't be overwhelmed by this. It is overwhelming. We're not dealing with secret thoughts that are temptations, and we ask forgiveness and God forgives us. We're not dealing with evil deeds we've committed, we've repented, and God's forgiven us. It's all over with. It's dead. It's gone. It's in the closet. How dare you bring it up again? God's forgiven me. Don't accuse me of those sins. We're not dealing with those things. You know, we all have our skeletons in our closets. If I were to tell you everything I've done or thought in my life, you'd carry me off to the Sullivan County Jail after church this morning. It would be the front page story on every trashy tabloid in the checkout counter of every supermarket. I'm ashamed. I've asked forgiveness. I've been forgiven by God's grace, and by God's grace I will seek and try never to do it again. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Paul's talking about. What we're talking about is continual, perpetual sin in secret where there is no fight. There is no shame. And we think we can get away with it. That was the problem of the Jews. They thought they were Jews. They were God's children by blood. They could do what they want and get away with it. And Paul says, oh no, let me tell you something. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says that you'll be judged someday, not only on the deeds you've done in public, but also on the secrets that you, things you've done in secret. You may think you may get away with it, but you won't. Because the judgment day will reveal it all. That's the gospel truth. However, too, it is also true that more often than not, you will probably get caught in this world. You probably get caught in this world. Not all the time. Like this PCA minister who thought he wouldn't get caught. Chances are, you will get caught in this world. Chances are somebody will find out about it. There will be a policeman waiting for you too. The Bible teaches us that men like to sin in darkness because darkness provides a natural covering. You don't have to go hire someone to cover you. God provides a natural covering with darkness. Men don't typically sin in public. Men don't typically do what they do in the presence of others. We are oftentimes not the same in secret as we are in public. You know, it's kind of like being a preacher. I typically know everybody in this church when you're at your best. Don't know you when you're at your worst. I've heard from your wives and husbands, but I really don't know you when you're at your worst. But I have a sneaky suspicion that some of you can be pretty bad. But when the preacher comes to visit, everything seems so nice. And the children are so good. Because we don't usually practice our sins in public, especially in the presence of the preacher. We tend to practice them in secret. Romans tells us that. Romans 13, 12. A few verses here. Romans 13, 12. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The thing about Christianity and the Christian faith, the more Christian you are, the more sanctified you are, the more public you can be, and the less you need to hide. Christ has shined upon you. He has exposed your sin. He has forgiven you. And now we live in public. Now, by God's grace, to some degree, we are in private what we are in public. And children, your parents know you well. They know if you're putting a front on at church. They know if you're the same at home as if you are at church. And if you're not, you're going to have trouble in raising your children. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul says we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. I've been reading a book lately on the topic of shame, written by a secular psychologist. Whatever happened to shame, he says. He does a good job. There was a day when it was a shame to walk hand in hand with a man of the same sex. There was a day, I remember, when it was a shame to be married in public, a man to a man and a woman to a woman. I remember going to Philadelphia a few years ago and seeing a public marriage of a man to a man, and the woman, or not the woman, but the man who was looked like a woman was all dressed up in a wedding dress and riding in a carriage down the main street of Philadelphia. Whatever happened to shame? It's gone in many cases. The Bible assumes a Christian culture that people will be shamed, or at least a culture where man has a conscience. And therefore, Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things because of shame. We tend to do things in secret that we are ashamed of. And also in Ephesians 5, verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to think or to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Oh, God only knows what is done in secret. Yet beware that what you do in secret, not only do we know it will be exposed in the life to come, but we also know that it may very well be exposed in the time in which we live on earth. Someone may appear, to your surprise, with a flashlight and shine it on you and ask, what are you doing? What are you doing? Or some little birdie may tell on you. You know, when I was being raised as a child, that's what I heard some little birdie told me. How did you find out about that, Mom? Some little birdie told me. You know, that phraseology and that concept is not simply an old wives' tale. That comes from the Bible. It comes from the Scriptures. If you know the book of Ecclesiastes, turn with me, if you will, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. The 20th verse, Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs in the Old Testament, the 10th chapter, the 20th verse, where the old man Solomon, maybe because he himself had been caught on a number of occasions, saying things he shouldn't say, should not have said, he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, he first defines what the problem is. He says, or what the danger is. He says, furthermore, in your bedchamber, you know, that's the one room of the house that's pretty much our private room. People come to visit us. They can come to the living room, to come to the kitchen, but only very, very few people ever get back into the bedroom. In your bedchamber, do not curse a king. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. The king and the rich man have a lot of power, and they find out what you said, you're in trouble. And you think, because you did it in your bedroom, that they'll never know. And you know what Solomon says? There's a little birdie that runs around that tells the king and the rich man what you said. Read the rest of the passage there, if you will. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man, for a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. And so you ask the king and the rich man, how did you know? And you know what they say? A little birdie told me. That's what Solomon said. I remember as a child, every time I did something wrong, my parents usually found out about it. Somehow, some way, a little birdie told them. And as I grew older, I found out who that little birdie was. It was my little sister. We When I was about 16 years old, I think, as I remember, I got a speeding ticket. It was a speed trap. You know, it wasn't my fault. I just should have known better. There's this little town, one horse town with one stoplight, about 2 miles long, like in the hills of West Virginia, at the bottom of a big steep hill. And you come down off that hill, and the car just keeps going faster and faster. It's 55 and 60. And as soon as you reach at the bottom of the hill, it's the town limits, and there's a sign that says 35. And there's always a policeman sitting there, knowing that you can't slow down. And all of a sudden go from 55 to 35, and one day I didn't do it, and the policeman was there, and the light came on, and he gave me a ticket. And I went home. My sister was in the car with me. She took great joy, I think, in that event, that her brother, who always seemed to do things right, did something really bad. And I remember walking in the house that day, and as soon as I walked in the door, my sister had a smile on her face, and my mother looked at me and she says, "Larry, you've been speeding, haven't you?" Mothers tend to know everything. A little birdie told me. I was talking to a man the other day, just recently. He and his wife could not have children until he was about 35, 39. They had a child. The child's about 6 years old. It's the wonder of their life, you know. And, you know, when you get to 40, 45, whatever, you start putting on weight. And he says, "My wife and I have a compact not to eat sweets and so forth. We don't bring them home. And sometimes when I'm with my little son at the store, I'll snitch a little Snicker bar. And when we go home, my son tells my wife every time, 'You know what Daddy did? Daddy shouldn't do such things.'" His son is a little birdie. The things we do in secret and continue to do, we think nobody knows. Nobody will ever know. Well, you may very well be surprised. Just the two of us. Just a telephone conversation. Just an email. You never know. I've got this pet bird who's got a little tape recorder, microchip tape recorder, and I send him all out into the community. And he comes back home and I play the tape. A little birdie told me so. You'll be surprised what people know that you thought nobody knows. How could he know? Moses said, "Be sure your sins will find you out." David thought he was safe. Not too many people knew what he did with Uriah and Bathsheba. How did Nathan come to find out about all of that? You ever think about that? How did Nathan know? I mean, Nathan knew everything. When he confronted him, he talked about what he did with Bathsheba, what he did with her husband, how he put him on the front line, how he caused him to die. Nathan knew it all. How did Nathan know? I don't know how he knew, but he knew. And he said, "David, thou art the man. You think you did this in secret? You think you could get away with it? You don't think anybody would know about it?" A little birdie told me so, David. A little birdie on the wall. A little birdie in the window. So you have a real problem, do you? You have a problem with making overtures to other men's wives. You have a problem watching pornography on the internet. You have a problem leading men on. You have a problem shading the truth. You have a problem cheating in school. You have a problem reporting legal income on your tax return. You have a problem cursing kings and rich people in your bedroom. You know what? You think nobody knows? I bet somebody does. I bet somebody knows in your family. I bet somebody may know in your church. I bet somebody may know in your community. It will work its way back from wherever you are. Even in school 1,000 miles away, it works its way back to home. There's a little birdie that gets the information and will get it back either to your parents, your children, your elders, or to your preacher. That's the facts of life. And that's why Solomon says, be careful what you do in secret. Not only will we be judged on the day of judgment, but in this life, somebody will probably find out about it. If we're not so sick with guilt, we have to spill our own sins ourselves. If we are addicted to secret sin, we need to get out of it. We need to ask God's grace and mercy. And remember this, God forgives you. Don't make God out to be a liar and not believe Him. If we turn from our sins, He washes us as white as snow, and He will give us victory. And we will not have to fear the little birdie that Solomon says is always there. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we confess that we're all guilty of secret sins. Who among us can stand up today and say, I'm innocent? We thank Thee, O Lord, that we have forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, that His blood is sufficient even to wash not only the public sins, but the secret sins. Help us, Lord, not to be so proud that we think that we are above it. If a man of the cloth, a man with a wife and 5 children, can get caught in premeditated sin. Oh Lord, help all of us to realize how prone we are apart from Your grace and how we will be caught. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Keep us day by day. In Your grace, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us conclude our worship this morning as we sing our last hymn, Of God in the Land. May God have mercy upon us. May God save His Word from this wicked generation. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we love Your Word. We believe it to be the truth from the living God. O Lord, forgive those who tamper with the holy Word of God. Help us to grow in wisdom in our own generation. Help us not to be influenced unknowingly by the sins of our day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.